Beckham pop, big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot, dog lock. That's the underdog, yeah they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah somebody done. Slime ball, yeah that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah let's get it gone.
Welcome to the MMA Takes Podcast. What's up with the what's up, huh? What's up with the what's up, boys? Oh, here's a good question right here. What happened to Wednesday Takes? I haven't watched them all year like here. Yeah, so Wednesday Takes was my hot idea. Midweek, giving out my takes. And I go, oh, yeah, I work a full-time job. I do Anakin Florian. I put a lot of effort to the pick'em. I'm a father of two, a husband of one, mother got sick, and I'm like, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. But I do love doing the Wednesday Takes because it's kind of like a free-flowing show where I can just give off my takes, you know, which I kind of do here. But yeah, I did the idea is to get more content. If I got paid to do this full-time, your boy would be just every day just hammering it. Like James Lynch, that dude puts out like, there's breaking news in MMA. That dude's got a video out of it. Go follow James Lynch. He's a good guy. That dude stays on top of this shit. You know what I mean? Stop of this shit. Homemade tie-dye. I do have a homemade tie-dye. This is not one of them. Mine did not turn out this way. I bought this. Where did I buy this at? I either bought this on a side of a road where someone was just making tie-dye shirts, or wife got it for me. I actually don't know. It's very comfortable, though. I wore this on the Anakin Florian today. Don't t-shirt chain me. We recorded today with the Pick'ems because Ken Flo's busy. So when that goes up later tonight, tomorrow, I'm in the same shirt. Don't shirt chain me. All right, let go. This card's a little thin. It's thin. I'm not like, oh, hold on. Sorry, boys. I hit a wrong button. That wasn't tech difficulties. That was a wrong button. So, yeah. So, this card's a little thin. A little light in the ass is what we call it. But, you know, but there's some plays here. A lot of chalk, you know, like Josh Fremd, who I'm a fan of, right? Minus 345 is steep, you know, because they're loading these guys who I think shouldn't be minus 345s up. You got a lot of female fights that are just chalk loaded as well. You gotta find your spots. Confidence a little down. I did hit, so my slime ball down the drain last week in Nashville. Greenhammer didn't stand a fucking chance. You know what I mean? Didn't stand a chance. Dustin Jacoby knocked out Kennedy within the first round, so the over 2.5 dead on arrival. Greenhammer here, I like the slime ball as well. But I did hit good on Tatiana Suarez, 5-unit whack. Got her by submission. At the time I got her, it was like plus 225 or something. I also hit Corey Sandhagen by decision, which was like minus 110. I got Azu Alibabov, the guy who submitted Odie Osborne, got that at plus 300. But a lot of my other whacks, I bet on pretty much every fight. I love going to the live event. I was there in Nashville. It's great. But the problem that I forgot was, oh, gosh, this fucking thing. They just keep fucking with me with this stuff, man. Anyway, the service was shit. I could barely get bets off live betting. So the only downside of, and Bridgestone Arena didn't give me Wi-Fi. They had something called Smashville Wi-Fi, right? I hopped on that. Slower than shit. Might as well just use the old 5G, 4G, whatever they give me. All right, first fight of the night. Ray of the shoot. Getting late. I've been off this week. I worked Monday because they gave me Friday off to go to Nashville. Off work Monday, off Tuesday, off Wednesday, off Thursday. Relaxing week. Getting the stuff in. Having a good time. Back to work tomorrow. I told him I work tomorrow as well. So a little 2-day work week. Can't complain for your boy. And then we got the fights this weekend, and then fucking Boston, UFC 291-2 next week in Boston, kid. What is going on? I keep getting these. Okay, see, my microphone keeps switching. This is a fucking nightmare here, eh? This is a nightmare here, boys. I don't know why it keeps doing that. Oh boy. Sorry, chat. Again, if you have tech difficulties, You know what I mean? If you have it on your bingo card, BP with the tech difficulties. There you go.
Fucking crikey. Unbelievable with this shit. Matt?
It's fucking, yeah, I mean, it is insane. Insane that this hack. God damn it. All right, I'm switching programs after this. I'm done with this program. I'm going to another one. Before we get nice reverb. I have a reverb going on right now. Really? Ah, shit. Tech Difficulties is a free space. I just hit the technical line. It was -110. That should have been way chalkier because God fucking damn. I mean, I wish I could switch the look at this setup. This setup's gorgeous. You know what I mean? I got the Rodecaster Pro. I got a fuck. What? I just got the internet updated, by the way, as well. I want to shout out the internet company before I get to these picks. Alter Fiber, formerly Cincinnati Bell. I used to rock with Spectrum. I had a real choppy show with Anik and Florian. That can't happen. That just can't fucking happen. So I called out to Fiber. They came out, this old country boy named Les, right? And our pole's in the backyard. And Duke Energy doesn't come and clean up the trees and shit. It's all overgrown. And I completely forgot about that. Or I would have went back there. They took out a motherfucking chainsaw out there, right? So I'm at work. He shows up early in the morning to install the new internet. And he looks at my wife. He's like, yeah, it's pretty overgrown back there, but I'll get up there. Don't worry about it. So he goes up there and he puts his ladder there. And I'm like texting my wife from my work, like, what's he doing? What's going on? Because I didn't think he'd be able to get up there. It's a tall fucking pole, all grass grown all over it. And then I show up. I get home at work right when he's finishing up. He got up there, right? He got up there. And up there was a fucking hornet's or bee's nest. Got stung 3 times in the arm by hornets. The guy had giant fucking hornet stings on his arms. And he goes, oh, I was getting it no matter what, bud. No matter what. I'm offering him a drink. I'm offering him cash. He's like, nah, good. We got it. All the hard stuff done. Like, I want to kiss this guy in the fucking mouth because now we got 1G internet, right? We got tremendous upload speeds. I uploaded a fucking video the other day to YouTube. Took like 2 minutes. Used to take 45. I'm sitting here making sure the computer doesn't sleep because that slows it down. Unbelievable service by Alta Fiber. So shout out Alta Fiber. And Aaron's MMA Picks is in the house. Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. On Anik and Florian, they're showing the background. I'm keep adding the background. Those gloves right here. Boop. Real UFC gloves given to me by the wonderful Heidi Dean in Nashville. I know I don't need use for them on these hands. You know, I'm a UFC fighter. So first fight of the night, let's get to the fights before we have any more technical difficulties and I lose my fucking mind. Juliana Miller, +135, was Luana Santos, -160. Luana Santos, spicy, spicy. She looks very, you know, glamorous. This is like the first Tapology glamour shot we got here. Making her UFC debut. I feel like they're giving Juliana Miller here, Ultimate Fighter winner, a layup. I feel like they're giving her a layup. And Trindade, of course, is here. Look at this guy. Juliana Miller, +124. Luana Santos, -148. I've been noticing DraftKings been doing that. Instead of doing round numbers, they've been giving us like, instead of 145 or 150, they've been going right in the middle, 148. Smarter people know why they do that. Over 2.5, -230. Under 2.5, +175. I don't like the under here. I like the over, -230. Juliana Miller did not look good her last time out against Veronica Hardy, who was a mid fighter, in my opinion. Juliana Miller, tall, lanky, striking's terrible, chin up in the air. It's just bad. And then and her grappling's pretty good, but she doesn't seem strong in those positions. She seems like she needs to add a little bit of size. She's going to have to be the taller woman here over Luana Santos. Luana Santos, 5-1, very inexperienced. That's why I think they're setting Juliana Miller up here. However, I've seen tape on Luana Santos, very little. I think she's strong. I think she's a strong grappler. I think if she doesn't want to get the fight to the ground, she doesn't have to. She can not rush on the feet. She can take her time on the feet, land some strikes, because Juliana Miller's striking is just trash. I'm sure she's getting better. She's very young. Luana Santos is 23. Juliana Miller, I think, is 27. Both these fighters are definitely getting a lot better. But I'm going to go Santos here. I can't trust the dog in Miller. She looks so bad. I mean, her two UFC fights are Brogan Walker, who stinks, and Veronica Hardy, who's mid, and Veronica Hardy just tossed her around. I like Juliana Miller's like gameness. I like her her mental fortitude. I like her toughness. It's she has it here. Physically, I just don't know if she has it yet. She seems to appear, needs to hit the weight room a little bit, right? You know, get a little thicker, right? In my opinion. And I like Luana Santos here from the tape I've seen. But again, minus 160 over or minus 148 is the current line here from Trindaddy. That's a little heavy on a women's MMA. And your boy knows chicks, okay? I know chicks better than the rest of them. But man, minus 148 over a newcomer. I don't know if I'm going to touch this fight, but for the purposes of what we're doing, we're going to go and hammer that, or not hammer it. We're going to go ahead and pick that, not hammer it, Luana Santos. Even though, but look at her topology picture. That's a fucking, you know, she went like this and took the photo. And it's like filtery and glamoury, like fucking get up. Let's go. What if I talk about B-Hoba's bro looking jack, dog? Thank you, bud. I need to drop. I'm down 2 pounds from Nashville. So we're on our way. I told you guys a while ago I was down 9 pounds total. Well, I gained 3 pounds. So I was actually a total down to 6, right? And I probably gained some weight in Nashville, worked out a little bit, down 2 pounds. We're coming for that strap. We're coming for that strap, bro. Not really. Got a long way to go. All right, next up we got Damone Blackshear, minus 225 versus Jose Johnson, plus 185. This fight came together last minute. Jose Johnson, he was on the Contender Series, exciting fighter. If you've ever seen this guy will fucking fight for your dollar. He's a banger. He's got good submissions. He's only been knocked out once in a pretty long career, been submitted a few times. He gives up position on the ground to land his own stuff, and this line has gone up. Damone Blackshear, minus 290, Jose Johnson, plus 235, over 2.5, plus 114. The over is plus here, under 2.5, minus 145. I'll admit I don't have the best read on this fight. If I'm being honest with you, I think Damone Blackshear is a slightly underrated guy. I think he's a tough out for most guys in there. I think he's a good grappler. I think his striking's come a long way. He's explosive. But his bread and butter is submissions. He wants to get you to ground and submit you. And Jose Johnson's very good at submissions as well. 3 of his losses do come by the way of submission, but that's because he gives up position a lot. He's got a good triangle. He's good off his back. Sometimes he plays that a little too much. I don't think he's going to catch Damone here. I like Damone Blackshear here. I bet you will creep over 300 probably by fight night. Maybe some dog hunters out there will play Jose Johnson. They'll see the record. They see the vet. They see the finish rate, and they'll go, yeah, I'll play Jose. I'll play my guy Jose. But I like Damone Blackshear. I think he's the play safe on the ground. I kind of like the over 2.5 as well. That's plus 114. I don't know if this is going to get finished. It did come together short notice. So maybe Jose is not in the best of shape and he could get submitted in there. Damone is a good grappler. But yeah, I like Damone Blackshear here. Over 2.5 plus 114 is something I'm looking at. Moneyline minus 290. It's a little steep. Not putting him in a parlay. Because Jose Johnson is a finisher. He's a wild card. You can go out there and just fucking take something. Pretty good striking as well. So give me Damone Blackshear, minus 290. Like the over 2.5 as well, plus 114 currently. But I, you know, again, I don't love it. I don't have a feel for it. Trust me, I got some feels. I got some feels for these fights. It's just these early fights. I'm not pulling the trigger like I normally would. All right, next up you got, I can never pronounce this girl. I call her Nektat. Can never pronounce her name right. Monsterat Ruiz, plus 198 versus, excuse me, Jacqueline Amorium. I did not do this name today on the pronunciation of the week. I think her nickname's Monty. I'm going to go Monty. This is the girl that head and arms, basically old school, backyard, schoolyard, brought Cheyenne Bays down and just fucking held her there. And Cheyenne couldn't do anything. She does that in all her fights. Cheyenne kicked and screamed and talked shit and tried to get out of there. Ain't going to happen, right? Or Cheyenne Vlismas now, excuse me, not Bays. And then she ran into Amanda Lemos her last time out and got knocked the fuck out, right? Just got slept. But Amanda Lemos knocks out everyone. Then you got Jacqueline here, debuted against Sam Hughes, lost a decision, low volume, tried for some takedown, tried some subs. Didn't happen on old Sam Page. This is interesting to me, the line here, because Ruiz plus 205 currently, Amorium minus 250, over 2.5 plus 124, under 2.5 minus 160. So over is the plus money, which surprised me because I don't think Ruiz is the biggest finish in the world. I guess Amorium, admittedly, only seen the Sam Hughes fight. She didn't get a finish there. She goes for a lot of subs, though. She has, you know, decent groundwork, but Sam Page stifled her, did what she did. Ruiz, though, came in, looked good against Cheyenne Bays, who I think is a good fighter, slept by Lemos, happens to the best. She's still got that neck, that throat tatty, right? Still has a decent kind of weird game to her. Needs to work on the striking, obviously. She got caught by Lemos early. And I know Lemos catch everybody, but it looked bad the way she got caught. And Amorium, I think, just looked average against Sam Hughes, and she's getting this huge line. Give me the fucking dog, baby.
Okay, this is dog.
Dog. And again, I know chicks, and I'm just going to go dog hunting here at plus 205. Hopefully she brings back the old school fucking headlock and get her in the ground. Yeah, I got to do it. You know, one of those things. But I like Ruiz here. I mean, listen, Amorium, 0-1 the UFC. I'm sure she's had some good work outside the UFC, but plus 205, over 2.5, plus 124. I mean, let's go. Someone in the chat, Skynet, said only live bet females. That's a good tip for anybody out there. Only live bet females. Get a feel of where they go, because we've seen Miranda Maverick sitting at plus 400, and she absolutely shits the bed quite a bit. You know what I mean? So live bet females is probably the best advice I could give you. But pre-flop, what we're doing here in the show, give me Ruiz with the neck tack. Kieran's here. What's up, Kieran? I saw you post a picture of your girlfriend, man. Happy for you, bud. She's a cutie, buddy. Happy for you. Skynet, live bet. Ruiz's nickname is Rabbit, so she's fertile for betting. That's right. That is a rabbit. You know, they like to, you know, what do rabbits like to do? I'll let you finish that. All right, next up, Josh Parisian, plus 180 versus Martin Budai. Budai? I like saying Budai. Minus 230. I hate this fight. I do. Listen, we watched the Contender Series. That heavyweight fight was so bad. The Polish dude threw like 7 punches, didn't land a fucking strike, just stood there. I used to train with John Jones. You know, fucking throw something, my guy. It was so bad. These guys are mirror images of each other. I think Martin Budai, is the better guy, right? I think he's better. Parisian's tough as nails. He doesn't go away. He's currently plus 164. Budai minus 198. Over 2.5. Phew, we're pulling this out right here, baby. Green fucking hammer. Over 2.5, minus 150. Now, the green hammer, for remind you, is a multi-unit prop play. We're 0-2 in the past 2 weeks. This is the fucking play that I want to give out. I got chirped by a guy at work. Oh, you slime ball lost again. I gave it a 5-1, okay? 5-1. My send him home, Jake Halley, had that arm, right? Had the arm. He probably fucking broke it. Cody Durden, tough as dirt, right? And then my dog lock, Gavin Tucker, what are you going to do? Cutie Pie Diego Lopez got him. But the green hammer is what I really pride myself on, right? I pride myself on everything, but the green hammer is something that I've been trying to work on. This fight has to go over 2.5. I mean, who are we fucking kidding? Both these guys are going to be tired, labored in the middle of the second. It's going to be a clinch fest. Booty's going to work the body a little bit. Parisian's going to try to come back. They're going to slow down the third round. Booty's going to win maybe a fucking split decision, unanimous decision. This has to go over 2.5. Has to. I've already placed a bet. I've already placed a little bit of money on it. My life's... Tatiana Suarez saved me last week. And by submission, saved my bank account. It's still not out of the woods yet, okay? It's off life support, but it's still in the hospital. So this bet right here is not as much as I normally would pick because I love the over 2.5 at minus 150. I fucking love it. So that's the green hammer play of the week. Go fucking hammer that, baby. Go hammer that. Let go. Parisian, they're saying in the chat here, Derek Green says, put up on the screen, he said, fight is over city 100%. Budai's 3 wins, UFC, or decisions wins. Yeah, he's not the biggest finisher. And Parisian doesn't get finished. Like, that's his one really good quality is he gets fucking knocked around and he doesn't get finished. Oh, my God. Look who joined the party. What's up with the what's up, you filthy animals? I said this on my podcast, and I'm going to say it now to my beautiful man, Christian. When I went to Vegas in December, he gave me a picture of the interpreter for the Spanish Portuguese fighters, good looking guy, great hair, Fabiano. Correct me if his name is Fabiano, like Buski or something like that, right? So on Friday, at the weigh-ins, I got to go backstage because of Heidi Dean. Thank you, beautiful. I'm with my wife. I'm meeting John. I'm meeting everybody. You saw the pictures, all that stuff. It was very cool. As we're walking out, homeboy Fabiano was leaning on like the guardrail, right? Leaning on the guardrail, texting on the phone, and Heidi kind of like gave him a little tickle, like, goofing off. I'm like, well, I got to say something to my guy. So I walk over and I'm like, hey, man, I'm a big fan. I said, I do a podcast with my buddy. He's obsessed with you. And I didn't get a picture because I'm not a big picture taker or whatever. I forgot, but my wife was right there. And I said, my buddy's obsessed with you. You're a huge fan. You kill it. He shook my hand and looked me in the eyes like, dude, that means a lot to me. Thank you. Tell your friend. I said, thank you too. So I met the legend, Christian Fabiano, and he killed it that night too. But the over 2.5. Come on, huh? What do you say about that? Christian usually disagrees with most of what I have to say about prop plays. So we'll see if he chimes in on the chat. And then Chat can either attack him or I'll kick him out if he disagrees with me. We'll do it that way. Next up, Francis Marshall, -160 versus Isaac Dugarian, +135. Ooh, you smell that, boys? That's just corny as fuck, right? You smell it?
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, this is dog.
Okay, that's a dog, yeah? Isaac Bulgarian's a guy that's been a little bit on my radar. I said, how do I know this guy's name? He's never fought in the UFC before. How do I know this fucking guy's name? I went back. I had watched tape study on this guy well before he got signed to UFC. He's only 5-0. Has a lot of people praising his efforts, right? Kurt Linus, Francis Marshall, -166. And Isaac Dugarian, +140. Francis Marshall looked bad his last time out against William Gomez, who I think is an average fighter. He looked like a young guy. His corner's like, dude, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. Francis is tough as they come. Fire Marshall, little corny of a nickname. Got to switch that up. But he looked tough. But he fought like a young guy. Dugarian's athletic, has good grappling, explosive in there, right? I like Dugarian here at +140. I like him so much because the card's so thin. I'm gonna go dog lock here, babe. Lock her up. Lock her up. Isaac Dugarian, +140. There's not a ton of dogs I like on this card. You know, Vicente Luque, spoiler alert, he was floating out as a dog price for a while. But I like Dugarian here. It's either Dugarian or it's going to be maybe Ruiz. I don't have a ton on here, right? But Dugarian's an explosive guy. A lot of his wins, who do you got? All of Dugarian's wins right here, Derek Green. All Dugarian wins are first round wins. I don't think he's past 3 minutes in a fight. That is concerning, you know. And then Aaron's MMA picks, never been in 3 minutes fights. I don't think US are bringing him to later rounds. This could be another first round full mount deal. 100%. Anna gave him that nickname, I thought. If Anna gave him that nickname, I got to talk to my boy J.A. because it's a little too on the nose. Because Elliot, what is it? Is it? Because Elliot Marshall was Elliot Fire Marshall, right? So did Francis stick with that as well? Because I believe he is a fireman. Yeah, so it is fire. Huh. Yeah, we got to come up with something a little better than that. It's a little too on the nose. You know what I mean? A little too on the nose. And here we go. We got Cole. What's up, big gun? This should be McGregor, my brother, Randy. Oh, hey, Cole. What's up, bud? I met this gentleman and apparently his brother in front of the Bridgestone Arena. We took a picture. He made me feel like a superstar. Thank you, Cole. You're an awesome fucking dude. Trindaddy, Francis Fire Marshall actually brought into full lifestyle. It's literal, right? It is literal. Sanko on the DWS is what he has a firefighter, right? I get he's a firefighter, but I think it might be just a little on the nose. You know what I mean? I don't know. There could be other things out there. He's a pretty guy, he's a good looking guy. Anyway, I thought he looked average as fuck against William Gomez. I think he's a young guy, he's got talent, he's got Kurt Pellegrino in his corner. He's from that Jersey camp, but these guys are tough as shit. He's got cardio, he can push Bulgarian here, but Dugarian is explosive, and he gets a lot of first-round finishes. If we get out of the first round, run, right? Because I think no matter what, Isaac's winning that first round, right? If he doesn't get the finish, boys, pack up, run. Like it's a fire drill. Fire sale on Francis Marshall after round one. Get him out of plus money because he's losing round one. I can almost guarantee you that. But I just like what I see with Isaac, right? But again, the chat saying it, we're all saying it. It's different when you get to the UFC and you haven't been out of the first round. Let's see what you got. Francis isn't slowing down. He's a tough kid. Even though I think he looked bad his last time out, that's what's going to happen with some growing pains. And it's not like Dugarian's been around forever. He's 5-0, UFC debut, right? Again, there's just not a lot of thickness on this card for me to really latch onto. So I'm going dog lock Isaac there. All right, next up, you got Terrence McKinney, -280 versus Mike Breeden, +225. McKinney, this is smart. This is smart for him because This is a guy who I think has a little bit of fan base with them, right? You know, he trains hard. He's got that exciting style. He's very aggressive. He's dropped two, right? And he's been finished both times. Last time against Nas, he complained a little bit afterwards about the fence grab. Had something to do with it. Time before that, against Bonfim, he was saying that his coach had told him to start slow, and it threw him off. And it just seemed like things are adding up for him. You hop in here against Mike Breeden. It's a winnable fight. You come out there. You come aggressive. Use your wrestling if you want. Take his back. But I want to see Terrence go into the second round. That's what I want to see, right? Mike Breeden is not very good, right? Not going to disrespect the guy. He's just not very good. Under 1.5, -280. That should be -22,000. Because there's no way this goes over 1.5. I think McKinney sleeps him in the first round, beats him in the first round, submits him in the first round. This is short notice for, I think, believe both guys. But I do like Terrence McKinney stepping up here. This is what he needs. He needs to get back on the horse. Didn't really take damage in the Nas fight. Just got out grappled, tired, got choked out. Pop back in here, right? We need to see this guy be able to fight at a tempo. He needs to find his own tempo. It's not the coach's fault. It's not the way he trained. I'm sure this guy's in shape. It's when he gets there, he needs to fucking find his own tempo. And hopping right back in there and fighting often, that's how you're going to do it. I like Terrence McKinney here. This could be a send him home for sure, because I think Terrence McKinney finishes no matter what. If you're on the opposite side of me, Mike Breeden will probably finish Terrence McKinney. I don't think Terrence McKinney will ever go to decision. That's just the type of dude he is. But I like Terrence McKinney here. A little chalky of a price. Vegas would load up on Terrence McKinney, but you know, with his track record and stuff, but they're still giving him a juicy price over a guy who's not all that great. Trinidad, he says Terrence McKinney would win by KO, TKO, DQ, or submission -250. Yeah, that is a double chance right there. That's guaranteed to win -250. A little steep, but I'll pay it. And my guy Timbo's here. What's kidding? Timbo's probably got a fucking dude in a chokehold right now, watching on the phone. That's how good of a friend he is out there, just murdering people. I fucking love it. Yeah, give me Terrence McKinney. Not going to touch him in a parlay. Not going to touch him prop-wise. The Vegas is getting wise. They're loading up on the prop-wise, so that scares me a little bit. But you're getting a better price, slightly better price on Terrence McKinney. But maybe play him like knockout round one, submission round one. Maybe just pick away he wins and do it round one, right? Pick the round. Pick the fucking within the first couple minutes. Select the minutes there that they got on DraftKings. Do something like that. Get creative, because I think this fight, no chance it goes to the cards. This is almost a green hammer too. Under 1.5, -250. I decided to go the booty Parisian over. A little bit of a juicy, but no way this goes to the decision. All right, next up we got Marcus McGee, -360 versus JP Bays, +285. So I don't want to talk shit about JP Bays, because he seems like a good dude. He's transitioning to a coach, right? He's in a lot of people's corners out there in Vegas. People like him. I don't want to talk about how his wife got stolen from him or anything like that. That just, you know what I mean? I've done the jokes, right? I've done the JP Bays jokes. But Marcus McGee, who I think is a sturdy dude, thick guy, big power, good cardio enough to absolutely rock JP Bays shit. Skynet said in the chat, McGee KO -150. That's my send him home. McGee wins this fight by absolutely brutalizing JP Bays. Bays is a good grappler, you know, but those days are behind him. His cardio has failed him. His chin has failed him. He gets dropped in every fight. He gets his shit kicked in. He gets up every time. The dude's got heart for sure. But again, he's transitioning to be a coach. He is out there in Vegas working with so many different people. I don't think he's really focused on his career, which is the most important part. So give me Marcus, the Maniac McGee, -360. That's a slime candidate as well. You can either throw him in there at -360 or him by knockout, -150. Either way, Marcus McGee is the key here. I've been hit up a lot this week of people giving me their picks a little late in the week, and we hadn't done the Anakin Florian yet. And pretty much overwhelmingly people said Marcus McGee. So JP, you know, win one for the good guys, huh? Win one and show your old wife, hey, I can win one. I know you're dating that 200-pound giant man, but look at me. I'm 125 pounds. I can win a fight. Probably not going to happen, though. I like McGee in this spot. I like McGee by knockout. Chat's very confident. You know, chat's full of sharps. That's what we're going to do. Give me Marcus McGee by knockout. Next up, Josh Fremm. Minus 345 versus Jamie Pickett. I hate picking against Jamie Pickett. Play on words there. Wilmington, North Carolina boy. Great story. Truck driver. Just wants to fight. Went all over the train. Ran into the Bo Nickel train last time out. I know he got hit in the knees. Rex Lee right here, baby. Sexiest man on YouTube. God damn it. Happy birthday. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the compliments. But Jamie Pickett, you know, he tried the contender series. What was it? Twice. He finally got on. Josh Fremm's a guy who I was actually high on. Christian, if he's still in the chat, shit it all over me. Why are you high on this guy? This guy's not good. And his record before the UFC is very good. He got knocked out by RoboCop. But if you look at the guys he has wins over, they're pretty fucking good. Comes in the UFC against Fluffy, gets absolutely mauled. Treshawn Gore takes his neck with one of the nastiest guillotines I've ever seen. And then beats Duzmus last time out. And I have confidence in him. I think he's good. I don't think he is 6'4", long rangey guy, tough guy, good on the ground. Jamie Pickett's only most recent win, he just clinched up ugly man Joe Holmes, clinched him up, held on, couple strikes, Holmes gassed out. You know, Pickett's not going to gas out. I like Fremm here. I like Fremm, and I don't love the number at minus 355. I'll tell you, I don't love the number. So I'm throwing him in a parlay. I won't straight him up. I do like him by submission. Not TKO, not KO, anything like that. I think he's going to grab a neck. That's what I think he's going to do. He's got a good rear naked choke. He's long on the bottom. Good guillotine choke as well. Give me Josh Fremm, slimeball candidate number 2, and give me him by submission. I don't love the number. Here we go. Trendaddy chased it for me. Josh Fremm win by submission plus 240. Add to my card. We're betting that. I just punched myself in the ear. I got to clip that part. Fuck, punch myself right in the ear. We got to hammer that. Who is this? Damn it, I missed 2 weeks pick. I actually like fight starts round 2. Woo, okay. So Aaron's MMA picks likes T-Rex, Terrence McKinney, who we just broke down a little bit ago. He likes to fight to start round 2 at plus 150. That's a good... Listen, we love plus numbers, right? We don't shame people for chasing plus money. We don't do that here. You know what I mean? Do your thing. You got a gut. Your gut's telling you something at plus money. Fucking ride with it, babe. Go with it. Josh Hayner's here. What's up, big gun? What's up, baby? All right, so we move on. So Jess Fremm, I like to play. High number, though, for a guy who's 1-2 in the UFC. But again, I like the work he did before the UFC. 6'4", Jamie Pickett, 13-9. Don't know if he's UFC quality. Don't know if Fremm's UFC quality, but I do know I like him in this matchup. All right, next up. Tefon Njuku. Oh, hold on. Chukwi. There it is. John was saying it so perfect today. He said, drop the N. Chukwi. There you go. Tefon Njuku minus 145 versus AJ Dobson plus 125. All right. So, AJ Dobson's an Ohio guy. He's not from Cincinnati, Powell, Ohio. Don't know where that's at, but trains at Columbus, and he's got Mark Coleman in his corner. I don't want to disrespect the legend of Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman is one of the greatest fighters ever come out of Ohio. Legend. Him and Kevin Randall went back in the day, legends, right? No disrespect to that. On the personal side of things, you know, Mark Coleman needs some work. And I think he admits that. He's working on it. But I don't like seeing those videos where Mark Coleman is shadow boxing the camera, right? And he's barely moving his fucking feet. And he does a little head movement. And he's barely shuffling his feet. And you know what I mean? And it's always like a caption like, gonna fight soon. Who's looking for a fight? Like, he's 50 years old. You don't need to be fighting. I know you want the paycheck, but you don't need to be fighting. And I don't like AJ Dobson at that gym. Who's he training with? Ohio, as much as I love you, Ohio, you have fighters here, pure fighters. But we don't have a gym for that. You can go up to Strong Style MMA in Cleveland. Stipe's got a good squad. There's some good guys up there. Really, Stipe's the only one that's ever made noise out of there. But they got a good squad. But as far as any Central Ohio, Southern Ohio, we don't got it. That's just simple. You got to kind of move on. Dobson hasn't moved on. I think he's an incredible athletic dude. I think he's going to give problems in the first round. But that's it. He's going to slow down. He doesn't listen to his corner. Mark Coleman's going to be yelling, "Get your hands up. Faint, faint." Last time he fought, he was down on the scorecards throughout the whole thing. Mark Coleman, with a minute to go in the third round, is yelling, "Faint." Bro, he needs to throw a goddamn kitchen sink at this guy. Tafon, 205er, got knocked out, coming down 85, on a two-fight skid. It's not who we thought he was from the Contender Series. This guy was a killer, but he is a guy that throws a lot of volume. If he's worked on his takedown offense, if he can prevent AJ from taking him down throughout the three rounds, he wins his fight for sure. I'm taking Tafon. I almost locked him up. I almost put something on him, but I'm a little worried about the wrestling. AJ Dobson does have good wrestling. He's explosive. He'll win round one. This is going to be a live bet situation as well. Do not take Tafon here at minus 145. After round one, he'll probably dip to the plus number. That's where you want to go. I like Tafon here to kind of just grind him out. Tough first round. Be competitive, but I think Dobson will be a little more athletic, land some takedowns. And then Tafon, I think, is going to take over with volume. He's constantly broke over 100 strikes in fights, land it. And he's tough and he's powerful and he's thick in there. And I think he's going to give AJ Dobson a whole lot to think about. So that was a fight I was on the fence about. And then I really looked up tape and I really dove in and just kind of centered my energy. You know, that's what the yoga guys do, right? Just center your energy. And I really like Tafon in that situation. That's a fight that I will be betting live because I think we're going to get a plus number. All right, next up, you got Yasmin, this was the pronunciation of the week on the Anakin Florian. Spoiler alert here. Yasmin Lucindo, I fucking nailed it, by the way, minus 205 versus Pollyanna Viana, plus 170. Oh, man, I tell you what, this fight, a little wide. Viana, Pollyanna, cute girl, right? Apparently she's upset she can't wear a costume to the ring. Is that what MMA Twitter's saying? Cute girl, though, for sure. But, man, can take an arm home. Coming off a knockout win over Junior Fry, which is great. Caught Jen with something crazy she didn't see. That's going to happen. Don't really think Pollyanna Viana is a world-class on the feet. Yasmin Lucindo, though, she lost her first fight to Yasmin Yeragui, is that how you pronounce her name? And then won her last fight. She mixes thing up well. You know what I mean? She mixes striking up really well with her takedowns. Don't know if she really wants to take this fight to the ground because Pollyanna's got a great arm off her back. But if she does, I think she's okay there. But she's 21, 22, 23 years old, very young. Those girls make mistakes. So I'm not loading up on Yasmin, even though that's my pick, minus 205, okay? I don't love it. Actually, she's come down. Excuse me. I keep repeating that. Trin's got the lines right in front of me. Pollyanna, plus 154. Yasmin, plus 180, plus 185. Over 2.5, minus 180. Under 2.5, plus 140. The under's a nice little tickle, right? Because Pollyanna can lock up an arm for sure. Pollyanna's a pretty tough girl. Striking needs to be worked on for sure. But she can lock an arm up early. But I like Yasmin to win the decision here. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. However, I'm worried about the armbar. I'm not willing to put a ton of cash on it. I'm definitely not going to fucking, lock anything up, though. Even though Devin Hester said, absolute lock. What's a lock, Devin? What did you say here, bub? Polly has a Homer Simpson striking. Yeah, her striking's not great. She caught Jin Yoon Fry, knocked her out last time. I'm thinking she made me think, oh, I got fucking power, huh? I got power now. I'm knocking out Jin Yoon Fry. Hopefully she doesn't come in into because Lucindo's got some speed. So let's go Lucindo there. Next up, Khalil Roundtree Jr. Say the junior, bitch. Minus 180 versus Chris Daukaus, plus 150. Man, does this not absolutely feel like a layup to anybody else? I mean, this feels like an absolute breakaway. You're down one. Michael Jordan's got the ball, and all he has to do is dunk or layup. It feels that fucking easy, right? Why does this scare me so much? I've been hit up this whole week by sharp people, people I talk to. Tatum Temple's one of them. I don't see her in the chat tonight, but she's one of them. And she said, I have two absolute locks tonight or Saturday night. It's Marcus McGee and it's Khalil Roundtree. She's like, I like Roundtree big here, right? He's minus 180, Dawkins plus 150. Okay, so line has stayed the same since I got these this morning. So Dawkins has been knocked out three times in a row at heavyweight. People think, oh, he's dropping down to 205. He can handle the punches better. I don't necessarily agree with that analogy. You're getting guys who are big, not as big, but more athletic. And Dawkins didn't really seem the most athletic guy at heavyweight. He's going to be the slower guy here. I know he's got this black belt, but he's laying at zero takedowns in the UFC. I don't even know if he's attempted any takedowns, if I'm being honest with you. Roundtree, I saw a video today, was doing like someone's training partner's doing body work on him. Looks like an absolute killer. Killer in there, right? And that's the thing, you know, when Cody Merrill said this day on the podcast, when Khalil was in Thailand, that's a different level animal. Thailand Khalil is a madman. I think that's where we're getting. He kicks like a bat. I was in the audience when he fought Eric Yaboy Anders in Atlanta. Those kicks were the loudest I've ever heard. Crazy. Dawkins, confidence has to be dwindling. This was supposed to happen in June. Got hurt, pushed it back. I feel like he might not want this fight, right? First fight at 205 as well, in the UFC at least. I don't know if he did it prior. I don't think so. And I'm telling you, boys, right? And I got chirped about this. Hopefully you guys have seen the pictures of me over this past weekend. You know how fucking enormous and giant and disgusting I am. But he walked by me in front of Columbus. I mean, he was 3 feet from me. And I saw Curtis Blaydes too. Curtis Blaydes is a fucking big boy. This dude walked in front of me. I said, that guy's a heavyweight? I looked at my wife. It's like, he seems tiny. I said that in the Anakin Florian, and people chirped me. He goes, dude, what the fuck? You're just a fat guy who's 5'9". I don't know if they're Philly guys or not. You're 5'9", 5'8", talking about a UFC-level heavyweight being small. No. This guy's tiny. I feel like I could pick him up and just shake him if I wanted to. He seems small. So 205, that's a good weight class for him, but he's going to be lacking speed. Khalil Roundtree has speed. I'm all over Khalil here. I mean, mortal lock. I mean, it's a
mortal lock fucking demon. And don't you try to fucking talk me out of it,
because I'm dead set, right? I always get little tips from people. Hey, play this guy. Hey, play this guy. And I don't like taking other people's bets or other people's thoughts. I want to be original. I don't want to steal anybody's bets. You know, I know we're all on the same side and we all, you know, whatever. It's fine. But in my weird brain, I don't like doing that. But I got so many people bombarding me this week, sending me, hey, Khalil, that I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, it's right there. Now watch Dawkins come out and just fucking sleep him. The only caveat, the only slight pause, I've already mortal locked him. He's in the slime ball parlay, so that's not the big, but the only little pause is I loaded on Khalil Roundtree. I'm talking 2-3 units. I think it was like $280 I put on Khalil Roundtree, money line against Marcin Prachnikau. Prachnikau is the same thing, chinny as fuck. Get knocked out by everybody, and Prachnikau just goes out there and just stunts him for three rounds. Khalil did nothing. I can't have that Khalil this. I just can't do it because this is a fucking layup. So there you go. Give me Khalil Roundtree, mortal lock in the slime ball parlay as well. Two fights left. Let's go to the chat. Let's see what the chat says. Timbo says Roundtree always disappoints. I need, here we go. Big on Roundtree. Strickland's been bullying him and he wants to let some anger out. That is true. Strickland has been bullying him. He calls him a woman. There should be a leg snap line to Khalil with all the oblique kicks he throws. They're nasty, dude. Those kicks are fucking, they scare me. Yeah, the Dawkins bros, they KR by David Ochoa. Khalil Roundtree by TKO. I love what he's thinking here. I have McGee and Khalil in a parlay. That's a smart parlay. Skynet. She's here in spirit. Tatum is omnipresent. Tatum is here in spirit. She's omnipresent. Roundtree did not beat Jacoby, but I'm so salty I lost the decision play. Yeah, that was a weird fight. I can't believe Jacoby lost it. Cannot strike Roundtree. Dawkins is not a wrestler. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. We're still talking about the Jacoby fight. According to ESPN, here we go. Turned out, according to ESPN stats, Dawkins never attempted a takedown. God damn. Remember when he stomped Mudeikis Bukauskas' legs? Yeah, I remember that. Big Gun and Coleman, let's book it. Let me tell you something. I don't know. Mark Coleman's a legend. Listen, he's 50 years old. I can't do that. It sells some tickets, at least in Ohio, though. I can't beat up an old man. I can't. I have a story I could tell. The reason I paused, because there's a story out there. When I was 25 years old, I was probably 24 years old. I was a very rambunctious dude. This is when I was drinking, attitude problem, yada, yada. We were at a bar, and then we went to a fest. Anyway, night was long night, boozing, chicks, whatever. A guy who was probably late 40s, but maybe early 50s, kind of said something to a lady I was with. I kind of blew my top, and it was a bad night for the guy, right? Lucky I didn't go to jail, and I just, I can't hit senior citizens. I just can't. Big Billy, what's up? I haven't Billy in a while. I'm really surprised the Billy stuff slowed down. John said I look like a Billy. That really kind of slowed down, but listen, I love it. Yeah, you know what? Someone said that to me last night. Big Gun and the Polish Contender, dude. Let me tell you something. If that Polish guy fought like he did last night without throwing any strikes, without really going for any takedowns, I think I win. Give me like 8 weeks to get in some shape, but I think I fucking win. All right, next up, coming event. Weird code of main event, in my opinion. I mean, again, thin card. Cub Swanson, +190 versus Mean Hakeem Dalladue, -230. So I'm going to repeat what I said on the Anakin Flooring, because I think it's a pretty good line. If Hakeem Dalladue, a.k.a. Mean, does not finish Cub Swanson here, you have to get rid of that nickname, Mean. You ain't mean. You got one finish in the UFC. All your wins are decision, split decision, close-ass fights. You got to start finishing people. Cub Swanson's ripening for the picking. 38, 39 years old. Has been finished two out of his last three, right? Last time out, Jonathan Martinez kicked his fucking legs off. Hakeem Dalladue has the skills. Before Mike Malott became Mike Malott, Hakeem Dalladue was Canada's hope. Now it's all Mike Malott, right? Mike Malott's a dog. I love Mike Malott. But Hakeem was the guy for a while. You know what I mean? -230, +190. This was going to be my mortal lock. I have it scribbled out right here. You can't see it on the camera. I have it scribbled out. Early in the week, I go through, I pick out my card. That was the one that jumped out to me. The more I dug in, the more I think Cub can give him problems. Hakeem's got to finish his fight. He has to. Oh, if he doesn't finish, he's got to knock Cub around the whole fucking cage. That's what he's got to do. He's got to knock him around the entire fucking cage. And if he doesn't do that, then it's a close fight, then this guy is just average at best. Skyness says he lost to Rosa, which is a fight I thought he'd win. Rosa's chinny as fuck, and he lost a decision, right? You know what I mean? So Hakeem Dalladue's gotta be the guy here, and he's gotta look good doing it. And I don't know if he can. Cubby Bear, one of my favorite fighters, coming from the WEC. I love this guy, but his time has passed, right? His time has passed. He's fighting for paychecks now. Not gonna be a champion. Exciting guy. I don't know if he's gonna be a Hall of Famer. People are gonna flirt with the Hall of Fame stuff with him. Don't know if he's gonna be a Hall of Famer, but I know it's one of his fights or is in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know if himself will be in the Hall of Fame, but give me Dalladue here. I'm not touching Cobb here. I see a few little sharp people, really big brain people on Twitter, maybe taking a poke at Cobb here, maybe by decision as well, because Hakeem actually is pretty tough. He looked good against Mosov Evilev in that third round. Cardio's no issue for him, but Hakeem's got to finish. I think I'm going to play Hakeem by finish just because it's like, I don't want him to win a decision. Him winning a decision doesn't mean shit. You got to finish, bro. Right? And this is coming from a guy who's not like a big Hakeem fan. I'm just rooting for success for fighters. He's got to finish. That's it. All right, main event. Vicente Luque. Now, I got him at +100. When I did the podcast with John today, he was -102. Trend will give us the updated lines here shortly. Vicente Luque versus Rafael dos Anjos. You got to say it like your tongue is swollen. Rafael dos Anjos. Because it's just sexy like that. You know, that's what they do. Interesting fight here. Tough fight to pick. Here we go. So -105 versus -115. Straight pick them over 4.5, +114, under 4.5, -145. So my biggest gripe is, well, not really gripe. My biggest hold up when breaking down this fight is Vincent De Luque is coming off that butchering of Jeff Neal. He got butchered by Neal, right? Brain bleed. That's scary shit, right? But I got to imagine with all the tests and everything that he's getting put through, he is absolutely good to go. Probably took it easy on the sparring. I feel like this is a guy that spars a lot. Took it easy on the sparring and hopefully worked without sparring, worked on his defense, because he put his chin on the line a lot and he got hit a lot. Can't have that, right? RDA, on the other hand, he's really revamped his game. He hasn't had a knockout finish since Donald Cerrone in 2015. This guy takes you down. He wants to submit you now. I don't think he's going to submit Vicente Luque. Taking Luque down is, you can get him down hard to hold down. He's fought better wrestlers than RDA. I think RDA will push the wrestling. Five-round cardio, who's that going to favor? RDA has had more five rounds, but he's just older. But you look at RDA against Moicano. Moicano took that fight on short notice. Moicano come up from 145 to 55. This is at 170, right? So Moicano, not the biggest guy, definitely not bigger than RDA. Knocked Moicano around, who's been knocked out before, but couldn't finish him. I don't think RDA has the power. I think Vicente Luque has a good chin, despite what we saw in the Jeff Neal fight, who is boxing's great, right? So give me Vicente Luque here, -105. I love him. I'm almost locked him up. He's not in the slime ball, but he very well could be. I think he catches RDA. I think he lands good shots on RDA. RDA has been finished before. You know, sometimes he'll go out there, he'll get knocked out early. Sometimes it's the fifth round, like against the Vaziv. But he has been knocked out. He has been touched. And Vicente Luque has better boxing. I'm a little worried about the kicks. RDA's kicks are absolutely fucking brutal. So he can slow down Luque that way. And I think if RDA really starts shooting a lot, you got to look out for those chokes. I mean, Vicente Luque's got some fucking great chokes. Kieran, who I just saw right now, he's got RDA. No way he loses to Luque. Well, I think he loses to Luque here, babe. Skynet's got RDA by decision, Luque by KO. So we're a little split here. We're a little split in the old chat. The old chat's a little split. I like Luque, and I'm feeling pretty fucking good about it, boys. Feeling pretty fucking good about it. All right, so that's it. That's a card. Let me give you Morlock, Khalil Roundtree, shebang. Send him home, Marcus McGee, -150 by knockout. Gorgeous price. Dog lock, Isaac Dolgarian again, newcomer. After round one, bail, run, go to Francis Marshall. Dolgarian's going to look good in round one. Doesn't get the finish. You know, we pack the bags because that's going to be a problem there. So that's it. Dog lock, send him home, and more lock. Slime ball parlay. So I got chirped by a guy at work about my slime ball parlay. He goes, I played your recommendations and it lost. You think, whatever. You know, guys that chirp you about when you put your face on camera and you give out bets and you lose, you know, that bet loses and because they don't have a fucking original thought to bet themselves and then they blame you for it. So again, preference. The slime ball parlay is just a starting point. You can take and remove and add and do whatever you want, right? Do whatever you want. I advise you, I'm a single bet player. I bet the slime ball parlay every single week, right? And I bet the green hammer every single week. But I'm a single wager guy. I'm simply a single wager guy. Every once in a while, I get a little crazy. I throw some parlays in there. But most of the time, single wager. So again, take the slime ball with a grain of salt. Don't come at me when it loses. Last week was 5-1. This one's not as juicy. So, slime ball parlay, we got Marcus McGee, Doi. We got Khalil Roundtree, Doi. Josh Fremm. It is not that juicy. +145. I placed it right before we got on here on DraftKings. Go to the MMA Takes betting. I should share the link. Someone hit me up today and said, hey, I've been trying to become a member of the betting group for like months. I haven't been accepted. I go to the betting group and I don't see anything for requests to be found. I should be open to everybody. I got to see what's going on. I'll send that link out though on my Twitter or something. Join the betting group. You can see other people. Trin's in there. Tatum's in there. A bunch of people are in there. Timbo, Christian, all those guys. You can see how we bet throughout the night. You don't see money value, so your units are hidden, but we kind of see what we're playing and stuff like that. It's a good time. So that's it. Bellator's Friday night. Someone just said that. I don't have any place for Bellator, unfortunately. Sorry. But I know James Gallagher's fighting, and, you know, I think he's fighting a scrub probably, but I just kind of like seeing that guy lose, if I'm being honest with you. So slime ball parlay, once again. Marcus McGee, Josh Fremm, Khalil Roundtree, +154. Not as juicy, but I love it. And we're trying to cash money. That's the most important thing. Chat, you're fucking incredible. Go follow me on Brian Petrie MMA on all social medias. Twitter, Instagram is really the only two I have. And go like and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that shit. I love you. You guys are awesome. Let's fucking go, boys.
With our man Brian Petrie. Motherfuckers. Perfect. perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. With our man Brian Petrie.